what we would even imagine. So this is one of those things that, as a couple, it has to be worked together. This is not something that the wife can do alone. It's not something that the husband can do alone. This is something that husband and wife must work at. And truly, it does not come naturally. Intimacy does not come. You know, everyone that gets married, you think, well, we'll be intimate. No, because you see the puzzling thing that you are, the thing that you probably thought was that intimacy is sexually, being sexually involved with another person. And that's what has been maybe the thing that has corrupted the idea of intimacy. Sex is only just a small part of it. It is not, intimacy is not just a sexuality between two people. Intimacy, sometimes people may say that intimacy is something that is expressed physically. Well, it is expressed in every way. Not only the physical intimacy that comes with both your nearness to each other, your touching each other, your sexual activity. No, it's not that. It's actually every part of you. It's expressed emotionally. There is an emotional tie between the couple, mentally. Now, that doesn't mean that if your husband's a doctor and you just got out of college or you're out of high school that he's met. No, it's mentally that you can come together and understand each other in everyday living. We're not talking about scientific or science facts or anything like that, but mentally you're able to work together, comprehend, understand with each other, spiritually, physically. So you see, it's just something like, it just doesn't happen. It has to be built. It has to be something that is produced in it. And we said that when we talked about intimacy, and I know I'm talking very rapid. I'm sorry, because I feel like pressure. When I preach, they say you can only preach this long. Now when I feel under pressure because I am a long-winded speaker. A lot of my work's done in China, and they want more and more, you know, particularly when we first went. So I sort of have a trouble bringing it down. So I usually like to speak very slowly because it really helps you to understand. So I will try to slow down a little bit, but I'm sort of running inside. Now, we understand as these last two lessons, if you've come and you have listened, you'll see that the two elements that is in intimacy is trust and the fact that you're vulnerable, you're open. Trust and openness. Sometimes when I say that word vulnerable, I sort of feel like maybe it's something that you don't quite understand. It's something that's almost fearful. You know, I'm vulnerable. I think maybe I like to say openness. You're just very open to one another. And people don't really understand how to do that naturally. Have you found very many people as you work and as you go about that's very open? You know, you don't find them. They're usually somebody else when they're out in front of the public. They're trying to please. They're trying to show a good, you know. Well, it was Barbara Bush. She's the first Bush woman. And she is very outspoken and very open. And I like what she said when they introduced her. She says, you see, she says, what you see, you got. In other words, I'm open. I'm. But so many times, this isn't true. You know, when I think of the time that you go together. Now, the Chinese, that may not in some areas mean so much because your marriages sometimes are made by the family. And it just may not be the same quite as some that have long and you have long engagements, but I mean long courtships and things, then you're around together. You can go with a man for 7 years. Now, I know this for a fact because one young lady, went with her young man for 7 years. And when she, in about 6 months into her marriage, she came to me and she said, I didn't expect this. There were things in her marriage that she didn't expect. She thought it was going to be different. So you may court someone, go with someone, even live in the house with someone and not truly know them the way that it should be. So I want you to understand that it begins with being truthful and honest. We know that there are wonderful character traits that helps us, but even got hooked up today. So we have to develop, we have to learn, we have to understand, but most of all, we have to want to. And unless a couple really wants to and allows themselves to, they will never, really never find the true intimacy. And that's why so many marriages are just marriages. They live together, they have children, and they pretty well otherwise go their own way. Or they may travel together, but still there's not that intimacy between them. Intimacy can be a look that has been developed between you and your husband that immediately he understands. Intimacy can be when you're in a group and you look over at your husband or he looks at you, and that look that he gives you, you know that you mean something to him. You say, oh, that's romance. No, that's what you develop. This is what you said, well, it's worth it. You say, but I don't have time for that. Yes, you do. Because a lot of things that we can develop in our life doesn't take a whole lot of time. It just takes consistency. That's what it is with your own children. There's a lot of things in disciplining your children that is not that hard, maybe, just a very simple thing that you have to try to show them that this has to be done this way. But it is the consistency of doing it until it becomes what we say internalized. And internalized means it's just there. It's something that you do without even thinking. So after a while, when a couple has really gained intimacy together, they can look across the room and there'll be a special something that they know that's between each other. Intimacy is when, as you get older and the problems come and the pressures come, it's something you know you face together. You say, we always agree? No, you know that. When would a woman and a man always agree? No. The only women that or men that always agree are those that are codependent, we call them. In other words, they just depend on the other person. They can't do anything for themselves. So whatever the other says, okay, but not in their heart, but in their mouth, they say okay. But no, this isn't what I mean. It's not a thing of just all of you always agreeing, but it's the thing of knowing how to come up to something and learn how through that challenge to work it out for the benefit of both of you and whatever the child or whatever the situation is. That until you begin to understand and know and almost immediately know what it is. You know, it's like a woman when you say, what's your husband's favorite dish? You know right away. There are some men who know their wife's favorite perfume. There's some, you know, they just know each other so well. She and I have traveled for 20 years together. So we went into a restaurant the other day because we've been back and forth to Jacksonville twice in a couple days. We got back at 4 o'clock in the night, in the evening, or 3 or 4, and by 1 o'clock we were off to Jacksonville again, and she had the baby. So we have really been together a lot. So when she was going to the restroom and we were in a hurry, she said, just order me something, you know what I like. Or no, actually, she stayed up with the baby. And the truth is, I do know. Why? Because we're there together. I see what she eats, and I understand her. And as friends, we're intimate friends. And so actually, that's the way it is with husbands and wives, not just those little things, but deeper things, until there is something about it that brings the sparkle to marriage, that brings the concrete to marriage. That as you get older and older and older, I had a friend that said to me one time when she was telling me about something that somebody did to her husband, and she's crying. She said, if they said it about me, I wouldn't care, but not about him. You know, that's pretty good. But that's that. And they were very close. I know. I watched them through the years, the depth of their love and intimacy. So it's something then that you really have to depend. You have to say to yourselves, this is what we're going to do. If I had more time, I could go into the process of how you can sit down and say, you know, it's time that we sort of talk these things over. And it's a time that we need to work some things out together and begin to talk about some of the deeper issues in your lives. Now, I understand, men, it's not easy for you to express yourself. If you know, it's such a difference. I've got photos of the baby, and I know the difference. I'll show them to a woman. Oh, it just looks like, it looks like, and then it looks like this one. It looks like the father. It looks like, they're so excited. I show it to a man, and oh, that's it. Baby's baby. So we understand that we don't work alike in many areas, but we do have to join together. And we must begin to be able to, and if this was a class, a full class, or if I was counseling you as a couple, I would go through the process of how to begin, maybe, of doing this. But I want to talk to you about some things, and I've given you a long, it should have been only 3 pages back in front, but our machine's having trouble, so you've got 6 pages. But I want to talk to you about, first, openness is trust is hard too, I'll tell you. But after a while, you can begin to understand how trustworthy the person you're married is. Do they do what they promise? Are they dependable? Are they accountable? Is my husband accountable? In other words, if I ask him to do something, or he knows that this is his job, this is what a man should do in the family, they know accountability. You learn whether they forgive or not. You begin to see if they're respectful. I remember one time when I was in college, the first year of my English class in college, and they were asking us, what is love? And the thing that came to my heart was respectability. You respect one another. Now, that is one of the big issues in love. Once you begin to lose respect for each other, now that's not love altogether, that's one of the elements. But once you begin to not respect each other, my mother had a lady in our church, her brother. He was studying to be a doctor. And his wife was, I believe she was, I don't know if she was a nurse, or maybe she wasn't. Maybe she didn't just finished high school or something like that. But she worked and worked and worked to get him through his medical school. But after his medical school, and he got into the practice, he didn't think she was good enough then. He lost his respect for her. course, when as he went on his life, she could lose respect for him. But you see, that's what I mean. You begin to see if they're faithful. Are they kind? See, these are some of the things that you say, but kind, what do you mean by kind? You know, a lot of reason we act the way we do is because we've never been taught character traits. We don't even know what they are. And this is one of the things that we've been doing, even in China, is teaching the children character traits now. To be good, not to be a Christian, particularly, not to be spiritual, but just to be a good person. So you begin to see these things and the things that are lacking in each other. Well, vulnerability is to be able to be honest in a loving way. The Bible said we always speak truth in love. Our problem is we always speak the truth so we can hurt them. We always, when we talk to them, we talk to them as if we're either talking down to them or maybe we're angry with them or we think that you know, we're getting back at them. But you see, that's never a way that you'll ever be able to become intimate. You have to learn how to speak the truth in love, because you've got to learn one thing. None of us are perfect. You might think you're perfect, but I hate to tell you, you're not. There's just no perfect people. We have our funny ways. We have our mistakes. We have all kinds of things about. You've got ways about you you don't even know. But you know, it's truth. Do you know that 93% of what you say is in your face, in your tone, in the way you move yourself, in your body language? Only 7% ever really gets across to a person. The rest they see. And in the way of our body language. And that's another thing with us, body language, the way we talk to each other. So actually we need to realize that vulnerability is being open, honest, not doubting, this is my husband, this is my wife. In the first few years, I've learned some things about them. You see, it's like a journey you're on, intimacy is. You begin those first few years learning each other. It's when you will not try to understand or learn each other. But not even if you don't try, you still learn something about each other. But sometimes it's so you don't like it and you close it up. You try to close it out. But the fact is we still know those things. So as we begin with intimacy, we begin to learn to be ourselves trustworthy. We learn to talk to our husband and talk, and of course, when we do this as counselors, it's husband and wife together. It's harder when it's like here, where some of you ladies, your husbands aren't here, or some of your wives aren't, and they don't understand, they don't know, they just don't know. But if as we understand that when we begin on this pathway of intimacy and trust and openness. There's some things in our past, you say. There are some things in your past that make you do what you do today. There are some things you have hidden deep in your heart. There are some people you hate intensely deep in your heart that you've covered up. There's a lot of these things that needs to get out in the open. And you will be surprised what it does for you to get them out in the open. Now, you see, if you have a mate that the two of you are working on intimacy and are willing to trust each other and are willing to listen to each other, you'll begin to open up little things, not blurred out. Now, blurred out is an American way of just getting it all out. No. Little by little, you'll begin to tell and open your heart and let them see. And there may be some things that you have to pray about and say, Lord, should I open this up? Maybe it's better to open it up to someone else. And yet they tell us, and see, this is a fine thing for me. It's hard for me to sort of say you must do this, because I've seen where somebody has been open to their wife and has lived a miserable life afterwards. They never let them forget it, see? But that's the kind of openness that actually isn't built on intimacy. They don't trust each other. You can't trust the wife. She's going to hold it against you. But the general run, the what they say is being open. You begin to be open to them. You begin to be sort of caring about one another. You see, basically, that's what love is, caring for the other person. Now, husband, that doesn't mean she cooks my dinner, she washes my socks, she takes care of the house, she takes care of the children. You know, no, I'm not talking about that kind of care. A good wife will do this. A good husband, though, if he cares, when he sees she needs something, he's there to help her. The care is the feelings toward that person. There are some men that can watch their wives carry something heavy, get to a door and to push the door open. They wouldn't even get up to open the door for them. You see, that's what I'm talking about, the care. Not just cooking the meals. I'm talking about, and the wife the same way. If there's something that you feel that your husband needs beyond just the what is the natural things, you begin to care about each other. You care when they come home, just as ornery as they can be. The husband will come home and begin to pick and say, that. Always, everything's all over. Why don't you make the kids pick? Picky, going and really arguing. And you look at him and you wonder, you haven't said anything to him yet. One lady called me after her husband was like this, and she said, well, I haven't done anything. What do I do? I said, honey, just let him go. He's the boss and him have had a bad time. And when he comes home, he's under pressure. And you're the only one he can take it out on, you see. So these are the things. And a good wife will begin to understand this. You know, they say, women, if you leave your husbands alone for 3 hours, let him read, let him watch television. Don't go at him with any problems. Don't go at him fussing. Just let him. And after those 3 hours, you will have a husband that will talk with you, that may sit with you, that he's a different man. He's unloaded himself. He's sort of gotten rested. You said, how about me all day? Well, you've got to find your rest someplace. But there is a thing where a husband cares enough, too, when he sees his wife under pressure, that he is not going to put more pressure. And listen, wives don't want you to tell them how to solve things. All they want you to do is sympathize for them. They just want you to say, honey, I know you've been really having a tough time, or I know that person really hurt you, dear, you know, that's all they want. You know, when you say, I'm not a cuddly man, I don't care, but your wife needs a hug once in a while. She needs to feel that expression, that need, her need, and then there's your need, and you begin to meet those needs of each other. There, and as these needs, as these things open up, you become more vulnerable in the sense you become more open to understanding each other. Now, let's look at some of the things that keeps you away from intimacy, because I think maybe this is one of the things we have to look at first. Why is it that we can't be intimate? Why? That's why I wished you, when you take this home, sit down and say, husband, why is this? He can see his side, you can see your side. But anyway, why? Why is it that we can't get intimate? Well, you need that trust, the beginning of trust. You need the beginning of openness. But there are those who take an I don't care attitude to each other. You had a hard day today? That's life. Yeah. You have to face it, mister. You had a hard time with the children? Well, that's normal, you know. Just very aloof and go on and don't even care and don't even bother. That's one thing that keeps us from being able to become intimate, fault-finding. Now, I'll tell you the truth. This is one of the easier things to do. We can find fault. Any little thing. It doesn't even have to be big. You know, several years ago, the Lord put something in my heart that said, they don't have to live that way. And that's been so, I think about it so much as I counsel and as I pray, as I think of the spiritual life, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live finding fault with each other. And openness is when we can say, you know, honey, I have a problem with something. That is, when we open the toothpaste, you're always pushing it from the top. And what you're supposed to do with toothpaste is you push it from the bottom and move it up. And it really troubles me. Well, he might be one until you begin teaching. You say, I don't care. But the other one, but in this thing when we are working on being intimate, we're able to say just little things that really bother us. But the fact, instead of that, we find fault with our children. Well, I'll talk about that next week. Anger, very angry. Everything we get sort of angry, you know, or we're quick to get angry, or it just seems like if you don't do it, I just, you know, that kind of thing. And that keeps us from intimacy. Anger is anger puts the other one on guard. When they know you're going to fly off the handle, they just either, I don't care, or either fights back, or just forgets this, lets it roll over like water off a duck's back. So these are the things, frequently absent. No marriage can be built on absentee fathers and absentee mothers. Because marriage, if it's going to be an intimate marriage, is one that is built. And when you have long periods of being absent, I'll tell you the truth, you sort of get used to being away from them. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes when a husband goes off often on the business thing, if he has a wife that's fault-finding, a wife that's angry, a wife that's always criticizing, it's almost like going on a vacation when it goes off, until there isn't that joy of being together. And so we can lose something in the fact of always being absent. So that maybe is keeping us from being able to be intimate. Apathy is just you don't care, you don't let it go. Guilty. When we are a person that, when people say things to us, we feel it's against us, we become guilty. Guilt is a terrible thing. I've lived under it because I have OCD. And I've lived under guilt, and I know what guilt is. And many times when you go into depression, many times when you have when things happen and you do, it seems like if you don't do it, you feel guilty. If you do it, you feel guilty. So actually, when you're a person that is very guilty, because many times it's from something in the past that's built into you. A mother, most of the time, or father, or a teacher that has made you feel guilty. And that's one thing, well, that's next week's. But anyhow, with the children, this is another thing that has to be watched. So, okay, then we go on to you're too busy to care about each other. You know, always on the phone, always doing business, always away. When you're together, you're not really together. He's thinking about something else. You're thinking about something else. That will never bring intimacy. Being restless about things, you know, you never satisfied with anything. Just the over the hill's the better thing. You know, there's some men that actually they move a lot in their business, they say. It's because of business. It's better over here. But the fact is they almost get to the place where they like this moving from one place to another. They're restless.
Being on the defensive. Every time your husband says something, or every time your wife says something, there's something there that a wall goes and you want to defend yourself. You'll never be able to get intimate with that spirit of defense. Also, sarcasm. I think I made an art of sarcasm. Sarcasm is very quietly saying something that can cut a person to the bone, cut them to the heart. And in saying it in a sarcastic way, putting them down. There's nothing worse than putting a person down. And that's what sarcasm is, put them down. And then, of course, depression, when one or other is in depression, it's very hard to work with your emotions. It's very hard. This is where the understanding comes in. This is where a man begins to, in intimacy, he begins to understand, when she's like this, then I need to be like this. When, you know, or when he's like that, maybe he has depression, then I need to be a support, you see, instead of always wondering, what's wrong with him? He's so lazy. He doesn't want to do anything. What's wrong with her? She's so lazy. She doesn't want to do anything. You see, depression does this to us. It takes away our life. We don't have life. We don't have strength. We don't have ability sometimes to concentrate. There's many things that comes in depression. So actually, this can hinder if you're not knowing how to work with it. Sending mixed messages. You mean one thing, he means another. You just don't know, understand each other. You mean, you know, he means east, and you take it to him meaning west. When actually, when you have this problem, all you have to do is repeat saying, is this what you said? Yes, that's what I said. Or no, that's not what I meant. You see, you can work through these little problems if you're willing to. Distrust, a workaholic, these are things, as you read them, you can think about them. But these are the things that actually will keep you from being able to become intimate with each other. And you've got to face it. You know, we sort of try to drift through life. This is me. I can't do any different. That's not true. And I want you to understand that's not true. You can do different. You can be different. Even with the OCD that I have, they have taught us how to overcome the guilt. And so then when you know you have it, then you do this way. And when you understand in yourself, you can change. You can be different if you want to be. Now, so we see that we've got to have an attitude and understanding. We can do this. As we nurture ourselves into this thing called intimacy, we begin to look at things more positive in our relationship patterns. Negativism never helps anybody. It doesn't help the person. It doesn't help the people we're around. It doesn't build up character. Being negative about everything just pulls you down. So we need to change your focus from some of these things that you don't like to a more personal, more understanding, more positive way of looking at some of the things that you or your husband have that maybe needs to be changed or needs to be helped. But you see, that's where the trust comes in. If I trust my wife, if I trust my husband, and I see that I can be open with them, they're not going to get angry. They're not going to turn from me. They're going to say, they make it hurt. Open, that's what vulnerability really means, being wounded. So when you're open, and they tell you something very kindly and lovingly, and trying to help you, it may hurt. But there's something there that I trust him and I believe him and I know that this is a problem I have to work on. And so we see then that these are some of the things that we have to do. Of course, the heart
heart problems you have to have God to help you with. I'm talking more about the fact that our personality problems that we can help ourselves with, but our heart problems, God has to help us. But the one thing we have to understand is that in marriage, there are three. There's you and your husband and God. For God loved marriage. He loves marriage and family. That's why he hates adultery. And we see then that what he wants, he wants a beautiful marriage. And as a Christian, particularly, when we have our intercession with him, that's what I was talking about, the intimacy with God, that you as a family can begin to pray, Lord, help us in this area. Lord, we're wrong here. We need your help, and the Holy Spirit will help. We need to understand as we go into this journey of intimacy that we have to be committed, because we can't go by feelings. We can't go by sensations. You have to go by that thing within your mind and that will of yours that said, we will do it. Nothing is easy to change. If it was, you wouldn't even bother. You wouldn't do it. But what change is sometimes very difficult. Most of the time, it's very difficult. So you have to commit. You have to pledge to each other. And I really feel like you say, well, we've been married too long now. No. I find out that wherever we are, we can begin. Maybe you've been a person that has really been like this so long, you feel like, well, I can't. But when you decide, God can help you to go on. And so we commit it. Encouragement. Oh, encouragement. You know what that word means? That doesn't mean putting them down. That doesn't mean finding fault. Encouragement means you encourage. That's all right, honey. I understand. It's going to take a while for us to get through this, but you're doing better. And you know, this is one thing that men has to have. Now, men, you don't even know that.
I'm sorry, whoever has it, but where did they go? Oh, here it is.
Men, you don't even realize it. But the greatest thing that makes up a man is his ego. That's why you work so hard. That's why you try to make a name for yourself. That's why you like to do things well, because there's something in you that wants to succeed. Now, I tell women, if they do nothing else, build your husband's ego. You say it's big enough now. But the more you encourage a man, the more he will work along with you. When, as a man, your wife starts telling you what to do, what do? Build a wall. You wouldn't do it if it would rain on, if it would snow in July. Once she tells you, that's it. And women say, he won't do it, he never listens. No, they won't. That's just sort of a built-in thing. But what you have to do is make a man want to do it. Make a man think it's his idea. Or make him feel that when you do it, you're encouraging him. But we women, you know, it's sort of a built-in thing because we're nurturers. And who do we nurture? Little kids. And how do we get them to do anything? Come on, get up now. Hurry up now. Hurry up. You know, don't do that. You know, all day long, we're sort of that kind of attitude if we're not, you know. So it's a little bit hard for us to encourage. It's a little hard not to find fault. It's a little hard not to grumble, because actually a lot of it is very characteristic. But anyhow, begin to work on this. Learn how to be faithful. If your wife asks you to get some milk on the way home, get the milk. If the wife asks you to do some things, do them.
If your husband says to you, honey, that bill has got to be paid, and please be sure you pay it today. And then he comes home and says, did you pay it? Oh, I forgot. Now, you can say that at my age. At 75. You can say it's sort of part of the process of getting old. But today, young people forget so much because they're so interested in other things that they're not really at the place where they can be faithful to what comes to them many times. They're so interested in me and my. Okay, forgiveness. You know what forgiveness is? It's giving up your personal rights. It's not always easy. Because many times the person has hurt you and has really hurt you. And you just can't say, I can't give it up my rights. Sure you can. You know, to me, I see the fact that I would rather live in peace than to say, I want my rights. I can say to whoever I'm working with, well, if you want it that way, it's all right. It's not what I want, but if you want it, if it's something that's not worth fighting over, you choose your battles. You choose the things that really matter, that really count. The rest, as far as, I'm not talking about forgiveness, but I'm just talking about just letting your rights go. Very difficult. Because sometimes in this thing of called intimacy, your husband will do something that will really hurt you. And you say, I can never forgive him. Do you know, this is the problem with when a husband commits adultery or a wife, that the first thought you have is, I can never forgive them. Well, then you can never have intimacy. I know those that have had gone through it terribly hard, but they forgave. And it was more than just lip service. And then they had a wonderful life after that. So forgiveness is part of it. Gentleness, using kind words. It doesn't hurt to be kind. Tender words. Sometimes I think maybe we don't know any. You know, kind words. Also, moving toward it is being honest, like I said. And also humility, knowing your own faults and weaknesses, being able to say to the person, you're right. You know, that is my weakness. You know, when they tease me, no, they're not even teasing me, they're telling me that I'm a long-winded speaker, or I several things. And they'll say something, try to be nice with it. And I say, listen, I know I talk too much. I know I talk off the top of my head. I know my weakness. I go to board meetings many times praying, Lord, keep me quiet, because I know my weakness. So we have to learn that love is looking for the needs of the one you love, not your own, but looking for their needs. Patience become slow to anger. Respect them, honor them. Listen, I loved it when I hear a man, you know, sometimes will say, you know, you've done well. He said, you know, I'll tell you something. It's the wife that's made me. And many times it has been the wife that has pushed and helped and been there. And when he needed encouragement or when he needed to do something extra, she was there for him. So it's wonderful that respect and, of course, growing spiritually. Well, I've gotten to page 2. So I've given you page 3, 4, 5, and 6. But I wished I had a longer time with this thing called intimacy with husbands and wives. Because it's the cream on the, it's the cherry on top. As an American saying would say, it's the cherry on top of the chocolate fudge sundae. The cherry is that little red thing that tastes so sweet. And they just put it on there to look better, but it tastes good. And so, actually, it's the cherry on top of your marriage. It's the joy of marriage. It's the joy of living together and beginning to blend together. Actually, there have been some older people that I've heard people say, they've almost look alike. They have so intimately lived. Now you say, I'm too old. No. You say, I can't start now. Yes. A husband and wife can start now. And if there's any of you that would like to talk with me about growing this way together, I can't do it with just one woman or one man, because what I tell the woman, the man's got to be there to be able to say, okay, we consent to. But if there's any husbands and wives that feel like they need another little push with it, but read over this and think about it. And I will tell you that in God's sight and in your own life, it will bring the sweetness, the joy, the satisfaction, the power that your marriage has been something that's been very real and very wonderful. And now you go off to eat a wonderful lunch. Thank you for coming to my class.